Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today, Nicole, she was a horseback rider from a very young age. She took off many, many ticks over the years of her body. And like a lot of us, you know, you just have a bug on you, you take it off and throw it away and don't think twice, because so many of us are not aware of the dangers that ticks can put into our lives. And so she's going to share her success story with Lyme disease. I always love to have these guests on to share, you know, the battles that they went through, just all to give hope and inspiration to those that are still battling this disease, that you can get well. So please don't lose hope. And I know she's going to talk a lot about, too, how it sounds like she probably was infected from a young age, but no symptoms arose until she had some trauma to her body. And then another traumatic event for her. So I say it all the time that people can either have an infection of Lyme disease and not know it, it just lays dormant in your body, and or even reaching remission. And oftentimes, what can trigger that? And it's an emotional or physical trauma to the body. So it's really important to kind of be aware of those triggers and understand what's going on in your body. So anyways, I'm going to go ahead and bring you on, Nicole. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to hear your journey.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. I couldn't do it without guests like you, so I appreciate you. So where do we want to start? Just kind of start where I guess it all started. Like I had, you know, mentioned at a young age, you were around a lot of ticks from horseback riding. And so maybe just start there, right? We don't know what we don't know when it comes to ticks and Lyme disease.
Yeah. So I'm 38 years old now. I started riding when I was about six. So that was in the early 90s, and there wasn't a whole lot of information that was shared with me anyway about Lyme disease and ticks. So I really didn't know what the deal was. And I didn't have any idea that it was so dangerous to be getting so many tick bites. I didn't take any precautions. I didn't use bug spray on a regular, and I was at the barn every day with the horses. And I used to get bites all the time and not think twice. And I didn't really even think about it. Oh, geez. Until what, maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I finally got the diagnosis. But they certainly did a lot. They did a lot to my body inside that I wasn't even aware. And I guess nobody really was.
Yeah. And so let's kind of fast forward. So now you have your first child, right? And even though it's a beautiful experience, it's trauma to the body. And so let's kind of pick up from there, because I think that's kind of where it really started, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I had no idea. I had my daughter. It was a beautiful birth. And following having her, I had gotten incredibly horrible migraines, and they were very chronic. I was getting them multiple times a week where I couldn't really function. I couldn't watch my daughter, and it was terrible. So I sought the help of a neurologist, and I went to several of them. They gave me an MRI and discovered that I had white matter lesions on my brain, which is indicative of MS. So they wanted to test me. And I was very much in denial of this. I did not want to take on an MS diagnosis. So, you know, I was like, nope, I don't want any testing. And I continued taking my Theraset, my Advil, and like, you know, the regular medications that they would give me to deal with the symptom treatment of the migraines. And as years went by, I think my hormones started to even out, and I would typically get them maybe a couple of times a month versus several times a week, and that was a lot better. But I never got any answers about it. I never understood why, and I never further investigated. Just kind of settled back down until my next traumatic event when everything started to really go, sideways.
And so from the birth of your daughter and just not knowing, right, like what's going on with our body, it makes sense. Okay, so I had a child, my hormones are out of whack, I'm lack of sleep probably, just all the things of being a new mom. And so if doctors, say to you, well, it's probably your hormones and your energy and lack of sleep and all of that. It kind of just makes sense, right? So we could be being gaslit and not even really know it, right? And maybe on both sides, from our perspective and even from the doctor side of it. But it sounds like, eventually over time things kind of calm down for you and you're like, okay, let's chalk it up to, motherhood and the hormones and all of that. And
Exactly
so
it.
from your childbirth to your next traumatic event, what was the timeline? How long apart was it?
That would be from 2008 was when I had my daughter, and then in 2013 I was in a very serious motorcycle accident.
Okay, so quite a few years, and probably just not a lot of things popped up, or if they did, it wasn't enough to really
You know,
address.
I gave myself so many excuses. I had a lot
You
of weak
gaslit
stuff.
yourself,
Yeah,
right?
I was like,
And
I
we
had a lot
do
of weak.
that.
I was young, and my mom was always like, "Oh, you get the weirdest things. You're not like the typical kid that just gets a cold. Like, there's always something weird with the things that you have going on." And so I did continue to have little things that, I just totally brushed off. And I was like, "You know what? This is just my normal. This is my normal. That's what it looked like to me. I had Lyme disease since I was a baby girl, So
Wow. And that makes sense. So if you got infected at a really young age and these super random things happen to you, it's normal to think I'm just that odd child, right? Or that's just my body. That's how I am. It's like you didn't know the difference. So your body was probably giving you these signs, here and there over the years, but nobody picked up on it. And that's why it's just so important to talk about it and share our voices and get the information out there, especially for, parents that have children and maybe the child has attention, disorders. Maybe they have a lot of allergies to foods and different things, fatigue, energy. There's so many different signs that we can just kind of chalk up to, oh, that's my child, or oh, it's their genes. And and sometimes it might be. I'm not saying everybody has Lyme disease, that has these random issues, but it's just really important to be aware and know these things so that we can further help our children or ourselves. So you had a horrible motorcycle accident. So kind of walk us through this. I'm so glad you recovered, but it sounds like it was pretty scary.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a big moment in my life, and I had been in the hospital for a long time. I was in a coma. I broke both my legs, so I needed to relearn how to walk. And in this case, doctors are telling me that even if I did regain the ability to walk, I likely wouldn't ever walk unassisted or walk normally again. I just kept on pushing. I'm very determined, and I don't accept that type of information very easily. So I just said, okay, that's what you think. Now here's what I think, and I'm going to show you. So I had, just so much pain, so many issues that honestly, I'd go to the doctors and they're like, well, yeah, like look at the accident you were in. Look at that, that's got to be the reason. And so they would treat these symptoms with pharmaceutical medications, and me not knowing any better, I would take them. That would cover up some of the symptoms that I would have, and then other symptoms. It was like playing whack-a-mole, really. And all of it was always just dismissed. Oh, well, you were in that really bad accident in 2013. That's got to be what is causing that. So that was always what, and there's nothing you can do, right? That was like, okay, we'll give you things for symptoms, but there's nothing we can do about this. This happened to you. This is it. This is what your life is now. which is really discouraging, honestly. And again, I just don't like to accept that type of information in my body. I'm always trying to look for different ways to solve the problems. At that point in time, I was okay with pharmaceuticals and I was okay with Western medicine. But a lot of things happened to me in my accident that, going through the recovery, I lost a lot of faith in Western medicine. I was operated on improperly. I had to have multiple surgeries after the fact to remove hardware that was placed inside my body that were placed wrong. For example, a couple of screws that I had were placed in, they were crossed, like, an X. That's not supposed to happen in a human body. When you have hardware, you're supposed to be straight and parallel to each other. So things that were removed, I had bones that couldn't heal because screws were put in improperly. And I started questioning. That was like my light to see that doctors are just like you and me. They're my next door neighbor. They're the person you run into in the grocery store. They're not all knowing. They don't know everything. Some of them do not continue their education. The field of medical sciences is constantly changing, and some of doctors don't pick up a book and look at any of the changes. And so it's really shaky ground when, you're starting to feel that hesitancy and that distrust. And you also think, oh, well, this is the only people who are going to be able to help me.
You did you I couldn't have said it any better, right? Because we do. I think so many of us, when we're young and we grow up and we get sick, our parents take us to the doctor, and whatever the doctor says, we do. And oftentimes we get well, right? We go in for the flu or cold or whatever, and we get well, but they are not the end all be all. And like you said, I think so many doctors get into the field for the right reason, right? Like, I want to help people. I want to change their health. And for whatever reason, whether, like you mentioned, Nicole, they don't continue their education, they have a tough patient, and instead of, we get that they don't have time. What do we get? 10 minutes with our doctors, right? They don't have time to dive deep. They don't get curious about things. And so they dismiss us, or, say, take this pill and that's all I can do for you. And it really is sad, but it's good for us to talk about this, that, we're not saying they're all bad. They're absolutely not, right? There's a time and place for Western medicine, I believe, but when we're dealing with symptoms, random things that are not getting well, not getting better, and we're being dismissed, right? That is time that we need to become our own advocate and get really curious and kind of dive into, okay, well, maybe there is somebody other than this traditional MD doctor that can help me. And oftentimes it's a scary part of our journey, right? I remember when I first got into that world, I was like, I don't know what this doctor's all about. I think they're very weird. And my mom always said, then why are you doing what they're saying? I said, I feel like I have no other choice. Like, I'm going to put all my faith in this because I lost faith the other route. And so it's either this or nothing. And I was willing to take that chance. And I thank God every day that I did, because there truly is a whole nother world of health care and natural antibiotics and just so many things I had no idea about. So that's one of the great things that we learned, right? Because it sounds like to you as well that this is not something that, was inside our box, so to say.
No, and that's that first branch of the journey in the losing trust in Western medicine. And to your point, you grow up thinking like that's the only way. And that was very much my perspective. So losing that trust made me panic, and it made me feel disempowered
Yes, good
and
word.
weak, and scared for my health. I mean, these are the people who are supposed, they're to, in my mind, the only people who know how to help me. So what do I do? And then I think, I thought to myself, well, like, hey, I'm not that incapable. I think that I can try to look into things a little bit more, right? But anyway, like things keep on going on. I wind up taking a step back from Western medicine. I'm looking into more herbal type things. I still have no idea. I have Lyme. And it started to really come crashing in on me again after another childbirth. I had my son. I gave birth to him in 2019, and it through after having him and all through 2020, I was pretty much bedridden. I couldn't walk. I was having extreme arthritis flare-ups. Again, doctors just accredited this to my accident. They would give me steroid shots and steroid packs that I would take. I would take them. I would feel really well on them for a couple of days. And then a couple of days after stopping them, or a few, a few, usually a few weeks after the shots, I would get way worse than I was in the first place. Worse symptoms, way terrible brain fog, neurological stuff happening. And all the while, the steroid shots would give me maybe a brief window of time where I could be functional. And then it would crash me back down again. And I thought, well, they've made mistakes before. Maybe they're making a mistake with this, right? And the only option that I was given for especially the pain in my ankle, which made me unable to walk, was to have a surgery that would put me in a wheelchair again for a year while my son was a baby. And I just couldn't accept that as a possibility. So I took the one last steroid pack that they gave me, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm feeling pretty good. I get up, I go out. I'm at this point, I'm living in Northeast Pennsylvania, and I love being in nature. So I'm going out for a hike because I'm feeling I'm having a good day, and that never happens. I only get those brief, small windows of being able to, enjoy things that I love to do. And on that hike, I picked up a tick.
Wouldn't
Right
you
in the
know
back of my
it?
knee. Yep. And again, I didn't even notice. I didn't notice until the tick had been on me for 2 days. And so I pulled it off. I had a bullseye. I sent it in for testing and I tried to get antibiotics. I did a little bit of research. I went to a practitioner and an urgent care. I also did online care, and I the only one of them would even consider giving me more than the one pill of doxycycline for prophylaxis, even though I had a positive test that said that an engorged tick was on me for 48 to 72 hours and was Lyme positive.
And
Finally,
you had the bullseye rash,
I
right?
had a
So
very
many
clear.
of us don't get that. And that is 100% telltale sign you've been infected with the bacteria.
Yeah. And so I finally went, I was able to find a doctor in my area that was willing to prescribe the 28-day doxycycline. And because I already had a little bit of distrust, and also this whole thing made me even more distrustful, I'm like going up to the doctors. I'm like, listen, I have the bullseye rash. I have a test report that says this tick was Lyme positive. I'm feeling not so well. And this is what is recommended for treatment, and they wouldn't give it. And I was like, this is strange. This is very odd. So I found antibiotics, and through my d little bit of a dive into herbalism, I discovered that I could also take teasel root at the same time as the antibiotics. And that helps kill the spirochetes. And it helps drag them out of your tissues so that the antibiotics can target them more effectively. I was a brand new practicing herbalist in I messed up the dosage and I took too much teasel root with my antibiotics, and I had the world's worst herx. I probably should have gone to the hospital. It was so bad. For days, and I couldn't figure out why. I just laid on the, I couldn't lift my head. Like I couldn't
Wow.
do anything. I was so sick. I had like brain swelling encephalopathy, so like it caused this tremendous amount of pain. It was like, wow, what a lesson. Wow, what a lesson in how powerful herbs are, right?
Yes. So many times people think that, we all know in general that like you can overdose on pharmaceuticals, right? Like they can be dangerous. But sometimes people think because it's a natural herb, there's no harm. And there really can be. So I'm sorry that happened to you, Nicole, but I'm glad that you brought that up because it really is important to kind of, we always recommend working with a practitioner, but sometimes we can't afford it. And so just make sure you really do your research and know what you're putting in your body. And As always, start low and slow, right? Like check
Yeah.
it out, tiptoe into the water to see how your body's going to react because we're all so different.
Yeah, well, lesson learned for sure, but it was also a big indicator to me too. It's not that I took in like a super overwhelming amount of the Teisel or that I mistook my antibiotics. It just also showed me how bad my infection was because in my mind, right, I had just gotten bitten by this tick, and that all of my other problems that I had been seeing doctors for were really connected to my accent or because I'm a weirdo, right? But this really opened my eyes and I'm like, hey, why is this so bad? I started researching and I started looking into it, and all the while taking the antibiotics, it's completely ruining my gut. I already struggled really badly with my gut. I had terrible acid reflux problems where I was taking omeprazole, I think it is, like Prilosec. And I would wake up in the middle of the night still getting like the burning reflux coming up. And like then at the end of the doxy, I was waking up in the morning with no food in my stomach, just immediately vomiting because my stomach was so in disarray from the antibiotics and probably the antibiotics I took over the course of my life as well. And so I'm like, okay, I gotta do something. This new herbal shop opened up with a bunch of herbs. I'm studying herbalism, brand new to it. Let me go see what they have. Let me go check it out. And so I go to this herbal shop and I'm talking to the saleswoman there and I'm explaining to her that I'm treating Lyme and I'm having these issues. Do they have anything? Oh, you gotta see the doctor downstairs. What do you mean? What doctor? What doctor's downstairs? Well, Dr. Spinard, there's a doctor downstairs. She's so good at this. You have to check it out. And I'm like, well, isn't that just a chiropractor? That's all that is a chiropractor. She's like, no, you don't understand. You need to go down there and you need to make an appointment. And I was like, well, I don't have any other options. What am I going to do here? So I went and I made the appointment. I had to wait a long time to get in to see her. And just like your experience, I'm thinking, I walk into this place and I'm thinking, what am I doing? Is this some witch doctor? What is this? Because she practices kinesiology and she's
My
explaining
favorite
it to
thing.
me. And I'm like, what? How can you even, the energy, you're going to put some things on my chest and that's going to tell you if that I have imbalance? Like, but you know what? I was there. I already paid for the appointment, and I didn't have any other choices. She said that she wanted to start working on my gut. She knew that I had a Lyme positive tick, and she's like, "Well, I hear you. I understand, but there's some things we need to address first." And she went back and she addressed my gut first. She made sure that I got in order. I had Candida and I had SIBO. And that looked like supplements. I had to take some probiotic supplements, and I also wound up taking digestive enzymes and really altering my diet. That was the biggest component. I had to go on the Candida diet, and you can't have condiments, you can't have, it was a big change for me. But I immediately started feeling a lot better. And within, I'd say, 3 weeks of taking the supplements and eating clean, I had no more acid reflux. And she also gave me supplements to reduce inflammation for my ankle. And they worked wonders. And I was in, I'd say, about 50% less pain. And I'm like, this lady, she's onto something. I have to go back to her and I have to keep following down this path.
Crazy as it is, right?
Yeah.
If you're noticing things that are changing, and we know that diet is really hard and also really important when we're going through this journey. We're down and out. We're miserable. We have no life. And then now you tell me I have to eat all this stuff that I don't like or can't have the things that I, not everything is permanent, right? A lot of times things can turn into lifestyle changes, which you will want to choose. But just remember, going through this journey, we have to do tough things. We have to do things that are not easy, that maybe we don't want to, or even think that it's not possible. But our mindset is so powerful, right? To mind over matter, and you can do what you need to do to get well. Just know that it's this temporary piece of your life, right? That kind of grow through what you go through, I always like to say, because try to take away some positivity from this journey. And I know it sounds impossible, but it really can be done. And when we kind of switch that mindset into that mode, it really does work. And I just have to commend you, Nicole, for going to this person that you thought was crazy, right? Like we all think that, and that is a big misconception in the world, is that if somebody is into kinesiology, muscle testing, energy, biofeedback, we think it's kind of all witchcraft, right? Because we don't know what we don't know. Our bodies are energy, our bodies are light, our body is vibration. Who would have thought? And it truly is such a beautiful world in that herbalism community, if you want to call it that, right? So, wow. Okay. So you go back to Dr. Crazy, right? No, I'm kidding.
She would probably love being called that. Don't even. It's fine. But no, so yeah, I go back to her and there's just irrefutable proof. There's no way I can deny the fact that what she when she sat me down in the chair, even to like I didn't even tell her about my acid reflux problems because I said to myself again, like, well, my mom and dad have acid reflux. Like, this is just normal. This is just what happens when you get older, and she did iridology, I think it's called. She looked into my eyes. Like, mind you, I said nothing about the acid reflux. And she was like, oh my gosh, how can you didn't tell me you have indigestion and heartburn? I didn't even have to tell her. She knew by looking at my eyes, right? And then the supplements she gave me, it cured a lot of things for me. You know what I mean? That was pretty incredible right off the bat. But of course, I still had Lyme, right? I still had Lyme. So I was still priming, still getting my body ready for treatment. And that's when, when I started testing positively for all of my gut and everything, she determined that I was well enough to absorb things properly. And then when you can absorb your treatment properly, then that's when you start treating. So, she was giving me combination herbal tinctures from a company called Monastery of Herbs, which I believe is actually a straight up monastery. There's some monks somewhere, and they combine these herbs and they bless them, and that's they're formulations of herbs that are pretty unknown when you look at the insert list of the herbs, but they matched with me. That's what tested positively with my energy, and that was really it was very challenging because those herbs, that treatment hit me like a ton of bricks because my infection was so bad. My herxing was absolutely incredible. It was, and it was so immediate upon treatment to the point where even for some of these treatments that I was taking, she would have me take one drop of the tincture and put the one drop in 1 ounce of water and then drink half of that. And for another one, she had me put 10 drops on a cotton swab and affix it to the inside of my arm with a bandage to absorb it through my skin because the herbs were so powerful that it caused an incredible herx that just made me so sick. But I knew too, I know like there are different methodologies about it, and some people are like, oh, herxing, it's like you're not your doctors come in here to do no harm, and like herxing is harm in and of itself. So, but to me, I looked at it like I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm managing. I found ways to reduce the herx symptoms. Alka-Seltzer Gold, lemon, and water was huge for me. That helped so much. I can remember one night I woke up in the middle of the night. I used to take my treatment at night, and the symptoms got so bad that it woke me up out of dead sleep, and I was in so much pain. I had tried to go downstairs, and I got halfway down the stairs, and I couldn't go anymore. I couldn't. I just sat there crying My partner came downstairs, saw me crumpled on the ground crying, and he was like, "What are you doing? What are you trying to go downstairs for?" I'm like, "I need Alka-Seltzer Gold. I need Alka-Seltzer Gold." And he goes and he brings it to me, makes it, and then within 20 minutes, I'm feeling so much better. Like, this happened over and over through my treatment journey, and it was painful, but I had the way to make it better. So I just kept powering through, and I just kept
Yes.
treating and treating. It was
Yeah.
scary,
And
but it was worth
for a
it.
lot of the listeners, Alka-Seltzer Gold is something that works really, really well to help calm down a herx. Unfortunately, because Big Pharma discovered this, that's my theory behind it. They no longer make it. And so I do post Dr. Rawls on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. I do post a video where he walks you through how to kind of make it on your own. So there's another resource for it. But yeah, and so when we go through this, some practitioners say, "Oh, well, you just got to push through the herx," and then others say, "Slow down." And just by you saying, "Nicole, you'll put one drop of a tincture in a little bit of water and only drink half of it," like that's how powerful some things can be, or that's how sensitive some people can be to it. Whatever it is, right? Always slow. And I think too that, yes, I believe that you can have a herx by overkilling, right? Taking something that's too much for your body. But I also believe so much of it is a part of the fact that your body's not detoxing. So you're killing off these pathogens, maybe not at a super high rate, but if your body cannot keep up with the detoxing these toxins out, it's going to overflow like a cup, right? And then it's just going to spill all over. And that's when you are terrible. So I was getting ready to ask you what types of things that you did do for detox. And was this doctor able to kind of walk you through that? Did she? Because I love the fact that she started with your gut first, right? You have to heal something before you just start throwing things at it. And so, how did she explain the detoxing thing to you and why it was so important?
Now,
Or did you figure it out on your own?
I love my doctor, and I think she is such a skilled, beautiful kinesiologist, and she has endless amounts of knowledge about endless amounts of things, but she does not have endless knowledge about Lyme disease and the complications that come with it. So she was able to test me for Lyme disease. She was able to test me and my systems to see how they were functioning, and she was able to offer me treatments and supportive suggestions, because remember, with kinesiology, you can only test the remedy if you have it on your shelves or if you think to test it, right? So some of it is in the practitioner's or the patient's responsibility to kind of do the research and figure out what it is that can help you. I was missing that detox key for a while. And I started to realize, like, hey, maybe I do need to start paying a little bit more attention to detoxing. I picked up activated charcoal, and I would take that every day. I did chlorella, which was a really, really good one. I did berberpanella, which was also really good for symptom relief for neurological issues. And I think that the biggest difference in my treatment and my healing was 100% my infrared sauna. My infrared sauna with red light therapy. Because I had been doing dry brushing, I had been doing Epsom salt baths. I even got bentonite clay for bentonite clay baths. I took the binders, I took them properly away from things, all of the stuff that you're supposed to do with them. And it wasn't until I got my infrared sauna that I was able to start treating without horrible herx reactions, and I was able to treat more powerfully. So instead of taking, half of one drop of a tincture, I was able to get a little bit closer to normal dose. And
Which
I
is a good feeling, right? Because when we're
yeah.
going that slow, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be at this for decades, right?
Yeah.
So, Kit, do you mind me asking you, what type of a sauna did you get? Was it really expensive? Was it kind of like a, the one that you pop up, or was it one that, full on wood structured thing? Because I know that they're fabulous.
Yeah, it was still pretty expensive. I did get a tent. It's the TheraSage 360. I wanted that one because it did have very low EMFs. And at this point in my Lyme journey, I was reacting to everything. I would have a shampoo or a body wash that I'd been using for years, and then one day I would use it and I would break out in hives. You know, it was like everything was causing me a reaction. Everything, I was so sensitive to all the things in life. It was just it was so annoying. So I got the TheraSage with the low EMFs, so I didn't have to worry about that because I also like turned off my Wi-Fi at night. I wouldn't sleep next to my phone. I was really careful about that type of thing because like even using my phone for long periods of time, my fingertips would get red, like swollen, red, inflamed. Like, so there was something going on there too. My body was just, oh, so struggling. I think it was under $2,000 for the unit. And I still use it to this day. It was worth every single penny. I would do it over and over and over again. And if I did not have the money to spend on that, then I would have gotten a cheap one off Amazon and not even cared because I think it was that impactful for me.
Yeah, I love that. And it is, it's very confusing in this Lyme world, right? People talk about all these different modalities and this and that, and our funds only go so far, you know? And I know for me too that, you know, I purchased a handful of things. I thought if I can pay for it and use it at home, then I don't have to pay for it at the clinic. And like you said, in the long run, it's going to be a tool that I'm going to have forever, whether we're still well, right? There's still things that we can do that are healthy, like a sauna, right? We all need to continuously detox our bodies, whether you're in remission or not, because the environment is toxic. There's no doubt about it, you know? And so that is an investment that you made that you can utilize for years. So, if you're listening, find something that may work for you, you know, instead of diving in and buying something that's a big investment. Maybe go to a clinic somewhere, right? And try it a couple of times and see what your benefits are because everybody responds so differently to different things. I mean, I know some people in the community, you know, love A, B, and C, and I tried A, B, and C, and it did nothing for me. So just always kind of check things out and just don't dive in and buy everything that everybody raves about, right? Because we're
And
so individualized.
if you do go to a clinic for the infrared sauna, like I do want to say that I started low and slow with that too. And I think that was a good idea, even though if you go to a clinic for an infrared sauna, they may say, oh, 30-minute session. Sure. If they charge you for a 30-minute session, it's still very much okay to only spend 3 to 5 minutes in there because you're still getting the benefits you need. And sometimes if you do go a little bit too fast, that can throw your body into a tailspin as well.
Love it. Thank you for saying that. So now you have a sauna, you're doing all these great things, and you have, you know, and I just want to kind of back up for a second and talk about your doctor, right? Like, so she's amazing. She does kinesiology. She knows so many different things, but she fully transparently admitted she doesn't know a lot about Lyme and she doesn't truly treat Lyme, right? And that's where we kind of have to be our own advocate and learn about things that maybe a practitioner should be able to share with us, but also by gaining that information on our own, I just feel like we take back so much of our power, right? That we lose. And you mentioned earlier that, you know, you just felt like you had no power. And that's what happens during this journey. But I also believe so much of treating Lyme disease is supporting our body in all the different ways. And that is what your doctor was able to provide to you. And that's such an important piece to this. It's not so much what tincture can I take to kill off the pathogen, right? It is about so much more. It's about detoxing our bodies, supporting our pathways, supporting our nervous system, our mindset. Like there's so many other things. And so you took a lot from your amazing practitioner, but then you also learned and kind of combined things together. And I'm only going to assume that that was very much beneficial financially for you, was to be able to put it two and two together. Because I know that that is a struggle for so many people out there is how to afford the treatment, right? And I think that this process that you went through, Nicole, just sounds beautiful for that reason.
Thank you. And yes, that is the reason. I wish that I had the funds to be able to see some of the phenomenal, very educated doctors, but I just didn't. I just did not have that. And my wonderfully beautiful doctor charges $50 for an hour appointment, you know? It's
Wow.
I mean, she's a godsend. She's a blessing. And I know that they're out there too. It's not just her. There are wonderful, wonderful people out there that I have met, spoken to online and in person that offer these types of things. But typically, they are a little bit harder to find. That doesn't mean you can't find them, though. And it can
Right.
take more effort. It does take more accountability on yourself to do the research and to find your own solutions. You need to work with these people. With kinesiology, like there was so many times where I would research supplements through my Lyme groups and through other people who are taking these things that help them. I would buy it and I would bring it to my kinesiologist and say, "Hey, can you test this for me and see if this would be good for me?" And she'd be like, "Wow, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, this tests great for you. Why don't you give it a try?"
I
You know,
love it.
work
And
together.
I even kinesiology, truly it's one of my favorite things. And I even made a little video, right? Like don't laugh. I'm not a good technology person, but I made a little video that I posted on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page explaining how to do your own muscle testing for supplements. And I just utilize personally just the sway test. And it really is incredible. So before, if I want to buy a new latest, greatest green drink or something, I always muscle test myself for anything like that before I put it in my body. Your body's going to tell you, right? Like it can take some practice to kind of learn what you're doing. But if you don't, I don't want to say if you don't, I think it's so important during this journey to get curious, like you did, Nicole. Get curious about what is out there. Think outside the box. And I'm so thankful that you saw some immediate results with the things that you were doing. Oftentimes that doesn't happen, right? And so it's harder for us to truly embody this thing that we're doing. But trust the process and get curious about other options that are out there to help you along the way, because like we mentioned, it's a financial struggle for many people. We see celebrities out there like, oh, well, they can get better because they have all the money, right? And it shouldn't be like that, but it kind of is. And there are so many places that like that you just mentioned, right? About sounds like maybe a little hole in the wall. Hey, the doctor's downstairs, right? Those are some of the best places and the places that truly are not going to charge you an arm and a leg. And, you can Google chiropractors. You can call chiropractors. Hey, do you do muscle testing? Do you do kinesiology? You can research integrative medicine, like so many different ways that, you can do that. And feel free to reach out and ask me if I have somebody I can recommend in your area, because I do keep a running list of the practitioners and doctors that I personally would treat with if I lived in that area. So they can be hard to find, but when there's a will, there's a way. And you're proving this, Nicole.
Yeah, it was, and honestly, I think that there's a lot of divinity in my story. I am so endlessly grateful for every struggle that I've had because it's brought me to this point, and I can see the synchronicities of all of the things in my journey to the point where if I hadn't gone through all of the things that I had gone through, I would not have the connection, the relationship that I have with God. I would not have my incredibly huge passion in herbalism and foraging. I would not be a kindergarten teacher. I would not be able to give them lessons on herbalism. I would not have the things that I have that bring me so much joy and light. I did not have them before these journeys that I've been on. And I wouldn't if I didn't go through them. And I know a lot of people, maybe they look begrudgingly on their journey with Lyme. Maybe they're still afraid of Lyme. Maybe they don't want to go outside because they're worried they're going to get bit again. That's not at all how I feel. I couldn't be more grateful with my entire experience. I see so much more now than I ever did before, where I was lost, I was scared, I was afraid of Western medicine. I didn't think that there would be any way to get better. Now I see it completely differently. Now I have been studying herbalism for 5 years. I treat my family completely herbally. Not to say that I wouldn't lean on Western medicine if I needed to, but I have not needed to. I have so much more empowerment in my own health. I have a feeling that my body is capable and I am capable. And if I were to fall ill tomorrow, I have the skills, the toolkit, the knowledge, the capacity, and the most amazing body, and I will get through it. It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay, it kind of brought tears to my eyes that I couldn't have said it any better, and I'm so glad. I mean, what a perfect way to end this show, because truly there are so many blessings that come from this journey, just like you said, Nicole. And sometimes when I share that within social media, people like to throw back. You've got to be kidding me. Apparently you weren't that sick. I was bedridden with a caregiver and I didn't know my name. I mean, I'm not sure, I'm sure I could have gotten worse. But to hear it the way you just said it as well, Nicole, it truly is such a powerful journey that it just is a blessing. It is a blessing. And to be able to go through something like this, yes, I agree. Like you mentioned earlier, I did have a love-hate relationship with God during my journey, right? I think that's normal. I think that's typical. I was angry. But it eventually it was him who pulled me out of it, right? Him who gave me that courage to continue to fight on and be my own advocate. And I'm so glad that that happened for you in your journey as well. And so thankful for you for taking the time to join me and share such powerful information. And I really believe that this episode is going to fall on some listeners' ears that really need to hear this today because they're struggling and it's hard and we need some resources for help and guidance through this journey. So happy for you, your family, your health, and I love that unfortunately you had to become an herbalist, right? But look at all the amazing things that you have in your toolbox now, like you said. I love that.
I'm
So
not sorry. I'm not. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And anybody that is stuck in that bad spot right now, like I completely feel, and I know I've been there. I understand at least a little bit of what the struggle is. I know it's different for everyone, but it is 100% possible. Do not listen to people who say that you will have Lyme forever or that you will never get better, or don't listen to your own thoughts. All your thoughts are not true. Just because you're thinking them does not make them true. And don't let yourself continue telling yourself, oh, I'm never going to get better, or this is impossible, or I'm never going to find the help I need, because you will. You will, and I think you will faster if you think you will.
absolutely. M mindset is huge. If you wake up every day, I'm sick, I'm miserable, I'm never going to get well, there's a really good chance you're probably not, right? So choose your thoughts and your words carefully because they're more powerful than you can ever dream.
Agreed, agreed. And everybody can do this. It's not a secret. It's not, it's everyone can get better. Everyone can do what I can do. I was not able to walk. I could not do anything. I had such bad brain fog. I couldn't think. I couldn't do anything. And I am living such a beautiful life now. And it was a challenge to get here, but I loved the challenge for what it was and for what it gave me. And every single person who is struggling can have this. And that's what I really want everyone to know and to believe, because I believe it for you.
Me too. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just gonna go to help to pay towards the studio cost.